You belong to Him. You're precious. God is good. We're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to pick it up today at verse 21. We're going to start at verse 14 and bring everything into context. And we're going to pick it up at verse 21. And we're going to talk about the transforming power of God. The transforming power of God. The power that it takes to transform a life. To change a life. To kick off some habits and some drop some things. And it takes power to walk worthy of the vocation where you've been called. It takes power to forgive someone. It takes power to not be angry and full of hatred and malice. It takes power. Wonder working power, somebody's saying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. And let's all stand if you can. Some of you had to go out. Let's read God's word. Paul talking to his beloved Ephesian church. He said, "We henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him all in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." May the Lord add a blessing to His reading. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Father God, we thank You. We thank You, Father God, that we have been enlightened, that we're no longer walking with our understanding darkened, that we're no longer alienated from the life of God, that we're no longer ignorant of the things of God, that we're no longer blind in our heart, that we're no longer callous, hardened, past feelings, that we're no longer given over to lasciviousness, which we all once were, that we're no longer unclean and greedy for the things of this world. Father, we thank You for the transforming power that You've given us. Father, we ask right now, Father God, that You would just continue to teach us and strengthen us, because we still have to walk in this mean world, this thankless world, a world that hates Jesus, that hates the church, that hates the things of God, that hates the people of God. Father, we need the power to stand. in these last days. Show us in your word today, Father God. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a sobering message. What a sobering message. Last week, we talked about having a darkened understanding. You ever talk to someone with a darkened understanding? Everything is dark. Everything is gloom and doom. Their conversation is full of lust, full of hatred, cussing and swearing. Just full of evil. Having a darkened heart, a darkened understanding. Then we talked last week about being alienated from God. These type of people are far from God. They could care less about the things of God or the people of God. God has no say-so in anything that they think, do, or say. Alienated. They're ignorant to the things of God. And this is straight out of the Scripture. The Word of God said they're blind in their heart. Or they have a hard heart. Just a hard heart, an evil heart. Callous heart. Then the last one we talked about last week, just as we move into what we're talking about today, they're with past feelings. You ever met somebody who's past feelings? They had no feelings for anything. No compassion, no love for anything. No love for their children. No love for the parents. No love for their fellow man. No love for their country. This is a picture of the dope boy who has no feelings, will sell drugs to his own family.
Amen.
Sell drugs to his own community, his own neighborhood. These type of people will do a home invasion on an elderly couple, a defenseless couple, and will just charge into their house.
Amen.
And beat them unmercifully and take everything and laugh about it.
Amen.
These are difficult times. These are evil days.
Yeah.
Sound like Paul wrote this a couple weeks ago. Past feelings. No love in their heart. But Paul talking to the Ephesians church this morning, as we pick it up in verse 21, we see it in verse 20, but Paul said, well, you have not learned so Christ. What it really means is that we have learned Christ. God has delivered us out of that lifestyle.
Thank you, God.
That's a beautiful thing. Let me give you an illustration of what it really looks like. We talk about Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot is a great illustration of what Paul is saying here. Rahab was in trouble. Rahab was in trouble. She was a harlot. She was a professional prostitute. Somebody told her about the Lord. She was quickened in her spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that you were dead in trespasses and sin, but you were quickened. Somebody quickened her. God quickened her to hear these people talk about this Lord that had parted the Red Sea, that had killed the Amorite kings, and that was on the move, heading toward Jericho, and Rahab knew that she was in a heap of trouble. And those spies came to her home. Let's look at Joshua chapter 2. I like for you guys just to follow me a little bit. And those spies came to Rahab's home. Providentially. Because God is not a God of mistakes and luck as we head toward St. Patrick's Day and everybody will have their four-leaf clovers. Some Christian folks will be dressed in green going to work. Talking about the luck of the Irish. Well, we don't believe in the luck of the Irish in God's word. These spies weren't as smart as the spies that Moses sent out. They didn't get caught. they were able to come back and report. These ones got caught the first place they stopped. They were faithful spies. The first group was probably Navy SEALs that probably didn't care about God. They came back, they had no faith, and they said, oh, we can't do it. They didn't realize that the God they had was bigger than the giants that they seen.
Amen.
These spies got caught. They was operating on faith. And before they got to Rahab's house, and the people came and they knew they was there, Rahab hid them. It says in verse 8 of Joshua 2, and before they laid down, she hid them in the roof under the flax. She came up unto them upon the roof. Now, we see Rahab realizing that I'm in trouble. I need a Savior. God's getting ready to destroy Jericho because I know how we live here. See, those are the steps we have to take. If you haven't taken those steps, you probably still lost. You have to come to a point where you know you are in a world of trouble. You are hellbound and lost.
Amen.
And if God don't save you, you're going to die that way. So when you are quick and you realize that you are lost, I'm in a lost condition. If I die today, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Rahab needed a deliverer.
Amen.
She needed a Savior. So she came to these men at night and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that. I know I'm in trouble. And that your terror is falling upon us and all the inhabitants of the land is faint because of you. That's the kind of God we serve. He's bad. For we have heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see Rahab has heard that the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea, for when ye came out of Egypt. My goodness. Rahab knew God as a powerful God. And he says, and I heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt.
Yes, sir.
Neither did there remain any courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God is the God in heaven above and the earth below. How about that?
Amen.
Rahab had a good understanding of who God was.
Yes, sir.
Now, she knew she was in trouble. And she knew she needed a Savior. She's crying out. Now look at verse number 12. She doesn't need any kind of Savior. She wasn't going to let these folks leave. She wasn't going to let these two spies leave until they blessed her.
Right.
Sort of like Jacob fighting the angel.
Yeah,
Rahab's life would never be the same. And see, when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord, you tell the Lord, I am saved, your life will never be the same. He said to these folks, these two spies, he said, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, since I have showed you kindness,
yes, sir,
that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token.
Amen.
She didn't want no junk.
No.
She didn't want no mess. See, some of us as Christians, we'll take mess. So we have a world we live in now. We got salvation, but nobody know the Lord. Everybody's saved, but don't nobody know the Lord. So we have that bootleg faith, I call it. Bling faith. We saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, but we don't know the Lord. We don't care about the things of God. We don't study our Bibles. We don't pray. We don't support our church. But we on our way to heaven. That's what they say. Somebody say it's a sad faith. Rahab didn't want no mess. He said, listen, I need to know that you coming back to get me in my Father's house. She loved her people.
Yeah.
I want to know the true God. Listen, listen. Verse 13. She didn't want to just be saved by herself. We ought to want our mothers saved. We ought to want our fathers saved. We ought to want our brothers and sisters saved. We ought to want our children saved. We ought to want our whole house saved. And when the whole house is saved, when saints of God go out into the community and start talking and witnessing to their loved ones, the churches will prosper.
Amen.
God's people will be blessed. But we got this undercover faith. And some of our loved ones would laugh at us, like when Lot went to his people and said, this world's coming to an end. God is getting ready to strike down Sodom and Gomorrah. And they laughed at Lot. Some of your folks laugh at your faith because they know it's corny. They know it's phony. They know it's hypocritical. They know it's not real because they see better than they hear. And they'll laugh at you. Is you the same one that was singing in the choir, singing so sweet? I heard a preacher say, you won't find a praying knee and a dancing foot on the same person. Y'all never heard that one before? Let me say it again. The old preacher said, you won't find a praying knee and a dancing foot on the same person. That's right. Let's move on. Rahab told him, I'm going to leave a scarlet rope hanging. Rahab knew something about the coming of the Lord. She said, I'm going to leave a scarlet rope hanging so y'all can come and get me and my peoples. Listen, listen. Look at verse 21. It said, if so be that ye have heard him. Okay? And on the day of transfiguration, when God transformed himself, he told them, the apostles, he said, listen, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Jesus came teaching and preaching, and we are called to hear him. He said, if so be that you have heard him. And the question is, have you heard him? Have you heard him? Have you heard God? Have you heard God preach into your senses, into your spirit? Has God's word been preached to you? Do you understand what he's saying? Psalms 90 as well, to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We have to be taught. We have to be taught. It is important that we be taught. Not only that, as the man of God, Paul, moves on, he says that you have not only heard him, that you have been taught by him. Mm-hmm. That you have been educated by him. That you have been educated in the things of God, not in the doctrines of the church.
All
right. See, some folks know more about the church doctrine and constitution than they know about God's word. Have you been taught the doctrines of God? Have you been trained? Have you been educated? Are you skilled at handling God's word? Back in the day, there was a word we used to call sophisticated. See, that word's lost today. Sophisticated really means knowledgeable. I'm going to take it right out of the dictionary. Knowledgeable in culture. Knowledgeable about the ways of the world. Self-confident and not easily deceived. Okay? Altered by education, experience, so as to be worldly wise, not naive, a sophisticated young Christian, classy and experienced. How about that? Natalie Cole sang a song called Sophisticated Lady. See, we don't have a whole lot of sophisticated ladies anymore. Sophistication has gone out the window. Okay? Everything today is all about being seductive and racy and sultry. Everything is designed to stimulate and arouse the opposite sex. Oh, we're not sophisticated no more. We don't even want to be sophisticated. We don't want to be sophisticated. We want to be sexy. We come to church sexy for Jesus. Don't even sound right, do it. Sexy for Jesus. We don't want to be sophisticated. Where's all the sophisticated men? See, she's saying sophisticated lady, but I say it wasn't gender specific. We need some sophisticated men. Men that want to be men. Like wearing their shirts tucked in and walking around scholarly, understanding the things of God, having the gift of discernment, being able to see right from wrong, good from evil. Not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Not hopping in and out of bed with every unsophisticated lady. Men that are faithful in marriage. Faithful to their homes and their families and to their church. Sophisticated. Going out the window. Going out the window. Have you been taught the truth of Jesus? How about that? Have you been taught the truth of Jesus? Not only that He died for our sins and rose from the grave. That's good. That's a good start. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's good too. But have you been taught the truth of God? We talked about this morning, the disciples, they wanted to be taught. And they asked Jesus, they seen Him praying, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Proverbs 9:9, I like this one, say, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Have you been taught the things of God? Look at 1 John chapter 1. Here's a good scripture. Have you been taught this? We went over this real good. He said that what was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. John had went to a young church, and this young church was being influenced by Gnosticism and folks saying, well, Jesus was just a figment of your imagination. He was just a spirit. He didn't come in the flesh. And John had to go and set them straight. Yeah. Have you been set straight? Yeah. By the word of God. Not by preaching, not by what I believe the word should say or what I think it should say, by what it says. I really don't have to explain this. It explains itself. Yeah. Look at verse 2. For the life was manifest. That word manifest was made clear, made plain. And we have seen it. Yeah. John said, we, the him and the 12 apostles, have seen it. Uh-huh. And bear witness and have shown unto you that eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Eternal life is found in Jesus. No other religion can offer you eternal life. No other religion. None. Then he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Not a figment of your imagination. Not a spirit. Person. That you could touch, that they have handled. Have you been taught? Verse number 22. You have, if you have so heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Him. If you know all that, and all that applies to you, then you have power, because Paul says in Romans 1:16, he said, therefore, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and the Greek. So if you have heard the word and you have been taught and you understand it, believe me now, you have power. If you don't, you can't go no further than this. Because Paul's getting ready to command. He's getting ready to make a command of the believer. In verse number 22, he's getting ready to make a command. If you have been taught, if you know him in the truth of God, here's the command, verse 22. That ye put off. That you put off. If so be you heard him. That word "if so be" means if indeed. If you got a different translation, it might say, if indeed that you heard him, that you understood what you heard. It just didn't go in one ear and out the other. You don't have a darkened understanding. You haven't been alienated from God. You're not past feelings. You don't have a hard heart. You have absorbed and embraced the doctrines of God, and you have the power of God in you. And if you do, now you got to do something. Now you got a responsibility, because you will not be able to stand before a thrice holy God with full knowledge of his son and say, I don't know why I was doing what I was doing. I just didn't have the power in me. Oh, listen. You don't have to go to AAs and BBs and all these clinics and all these things. You got patches all over your body. Listen. You got the power of God within you to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the former way of life, the way you used to live. The way you used to live, that old behavior. Listen, Hebrews 12:1 talks about it from a worldliness and a materialistic perspective. He says, lay aside. That's the same word, put off. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you, and let us run with patience the race that is set before. There's some folks, saved folks, that don't take much. Just set them off. Paul said, lay aside that. Build up that area in your life. Don't let somebody just walk into your world, walk into your world and just set you off. Some of us so easily set off.
Yes, sir. That's the truth.
Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. You tell me you got all the, you walking in the Spirit and somebody just sets you off just like that. Just like that. You ready to go. Cuss them out. Look at Acts 7:58. I'm just going to keep rolling. Choir saying good, saying long. I'm going to keep going. Y'all have to write them down. Reverend Jones is talking. Choir singing. Now I'm speeding. If I get a ticket, you paying for it, Reverend Jones. Look at Acts 7:58. Now he's coming from a guilty conscience. He's coming from a guilty conscience. The same word. Put off. Okay? He's talking about Paul. He said they cast him out of the city, Stephen. They stoned Stephen. And they laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Why did they lay their clothes down at Saul's feet? Because they wore clothes that hindered them from throwing the rocks. So they had to get loose. You see, some of us got stuff on us that's hindering us. So we got to take some things off so we can do some work. I'm not prepared right now to go out there and start picking up sticks. I would have to take off some of this stuff. See, some of us can't do God's work. We can't serve God. We can't worship God. We can't praise the Lord because we got on the wrong stuff. We just covered up with junk and we can't get loose. Colossians 3:8 start dealing with the mouth. Start dealing with your mouth. Colossians 3:8. Start dealing with your mouth, folks. Look what he says. Some of us in here got bad mouths. Some of the young people learn and have bad mouths now. You sit up here singing in a choir and then go home and they cussing, listen to the cussing music. You can't get salt water and fresh water out of the same tap. Some of these young folks in here can't sing to the glory of God because all week they singing to the glory of Satan. Let them have a hip-hop rap concert at school. You'll be saying, is that the same young man or the same young girl couldn't open her mouth in church? But let them have an outdoor block party downtown. Give them the mic.
True.
They can sing. No Tupac back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Picture me rolling. Get them in the choir stand, ain't us. Like they got a mouthful of flour. Can't sing a lick. Didn't make up excuses. I don't like the choir director. I don't like the band. I don't like singing acapella. Listen, you singing Tupac acapella. You singing Lil Wayne acapella. You singing 50 Cent acapella. Colossians 3:8. Look what he says. You got the power. It's the same word. He said, but now you also put off these things. There's our word. Put them off.
Yeah.
Okay. Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you mad in here now.
All right.
Woke up mad. Slept with your hands balled up.
All right.
Just mad. Wake up mad.
Uh-huh.
Good morning. Just wake up, man. Good morning. Good same to you. Good morning. But put off these things. Put them off. Anger.
Uh-huh.
These aren't Christian virtues. That's what Paul's saying. These aren't Christian virtues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ain't nothing like an angry Christian. A hellion Christian. Because I'm going to ask you what church you go to. And I'm not asking you that so I can come. I'm asking you what church you go to, so I won't go near it. Angry preachers make angry sheep. And sheep ain't designed to be angry. You call yourself a sheep, sheep ain't can't fight a lick. Sheep ain't got sharp teeth and claws. Call you a sheep, got claw like Freddy Krueger. Big teeth and fangs. And sheep ain't like that. Sheep can't fight. She fall over, can't even get up. Scared of moving water. The shepherd got to go stop the water so the sheep can drink. Then you call yourself a sheep. Mean. I'm a child of God. Okay. Put off some stuff. Anger, wrath, malice. How about this one? Blasphemy.
Yeah.
You know what blasphemy is? Telling somebody you're a Christian and acting a doggone fool.
Yeah.
That's the highest form of blasphemy. Yeah, come out here and sing. Come out, you gotta come here and sing. Really? I'm hearing you sing now.
Uh-huh.
Filthy, cute communications. Out of your mouth. Listen, nothing filthy should come out of the child of God's mouth. Seriously, people say, oh, Lord. You know, I've been struggling with this. Struggle with it. I talked to a person for 3 hours the other day on the phone. She ain't holler at me one time. It was so beautiful. How about that? I put them on the spot too. They like, who was she talking to? Okay. I'm going to tell y'all when y'all see me in the hallway who that person was too. Okay. Listen. Put off stuff. You got the power to do it.
Amen.
Listen. We got to be like Mark. Mark chapter 10. I'm in a story blind Bartimaeus. I preached a sermon on one of the great, this great story. And Mark, in his vivid imagination, Mark talks about blind Bartimaeus casting off, casting away his garment. That's a sign of putting off.
Yeah.
Casting away. And then the word of God said he leaped for joy.
All right.
He leaped for joy. He didn't need that garment no more weighing him down or protecting him. He had the Lord. And he leaped for joy with gladness. Listen. Some of us are so buried in sin. Sin will weigh you down. It'll weigh you down. You cannot move when God say move.
Amen.
I've told y'all the story about the man had a pony, and the pony fell into a well. And then they looking down in the well, and how are we going to get him out? And the man said, I got it. He went back and he got a bulldozer. He just started dumping dirt in there. And every time the dirt hit the pony would shake it off. And then he'd dump another load, shake it off. And he'd dump another load, shake it off. Pretty soon, after so many loads, the pony just walked right out of the well.
Yeah.
Some of us, one load. And we just fall out. Oh, Lord. I'm going to die in this well. We ain't shaking nothing off. We carrying everything around. You got to shake it off. Young folk, you sing a song. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. He has got the devil just dragging the devil around everywhere he goes. He won't let me go. Oh, my God. Listen. 1 Peter 2:1. Peter says, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. You know, let me talk about that word guile. Jesus called one of his disciples. I don't know which one it was right now. I believe it was Andrew. And he said, there's a man with no guile. Okay, guile, you know what guile means? Some of y'all got guile. Some of y'all full of guile. Full of guile. It means slickness and slyness and just sneaky. Some of y'all just sneaky. Sneaky and clever. Got a little trick, got an excuse for everything you do. See, when God called the apostle, he called one with no guile. They said, this man has no guile.
Right.
He had a pure soul, a good heart. Some of y'all just so clever. And so slick. Mama never find out. Daddy will never find out. Grandma will never find out. We doing this. If we do this, we going to get caught, be in trouble. Listen. Full of guile. Full of guile. Lay it aside. Lay all that sneaky and trickery aside. It's a sign that you don't know the Lord. James 1:8. Talk about hypocrisy. Say, lay that aside too. That being two-faced, insincere, dishonest. James says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Anybody ever had to deal with a double-minded person?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be there. I'm on my way.
Uh-huh.
Ain't even got out of bed. I'll be there for you. Okay. Listen. I know. Let's go back. I ain't gonna even say it. I'm not gonna even say it. Listen. He says, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is what he says. He gives an interesting word here. The old man which is corrupt. That word corrupt means that old man, if you put it off, it's dying.
Mm-hmm.
It's stinking.
Oh, yeah.
How many of you know if you don't shower and wash and take care of yourself, your skin dies every day. Okay, so if you don't wash, you're going to stink. Some of us don't wash for days and days. And that dead skin is piling up on you. And all the oil from the flea market lady. Nate said that. It ain't going to help you. And when you get up out of a chair, folks going to know you got up.
Amen.
You need to wash that corrupt body. And this is what Paul is saying here. He said, oh, man is corrupt. Stinking. You know, one of the ones they used to punish folks back in the old days? You kill somebody. They take that person that you killed. And they would strap that person to you face to face. This Roman soldier was wicked. and they would strap that dead person straight on you. And that person's body started decomposing, and them maggots and worms, and you just, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Paul is saying that old man is corrupt. Is corrupt. Listen. Lazarus had died. Lazarus had died. John 11, I ain't gonna go there. Lazarus had died. Mary and Martha knew Jesus could heal and could have healed him. He was sick. They called for him. Jesus waited purposely for 4 days. Then he came back. And they said, if you've been here, Lazarus will live. Jesus said, you don't know who you're talking to. Y'all got the wrong Jesus. Y'all think y'all got the wrong Jesus. I'm telling you, this Jesus I serve is bad. Okay? He was radical. He was a bad man. He said, listen, y'all know what y'all talking about. He said, Lazarus will live again. They said, well, we know he's going to live again in resurrection. He said, I'm the resurrection. The resurrection is right here in front of you.
Amen.
Then he looked up to heaven and called on his father and said, listen, let's do this. And he called Lazarus out of that grave. And he called him out of that grave. And the first thing Jesus said after they called him out, he said, Lazarus, come out. He called him by name. Y'all know why he called him by name. Okay. One of them unsaved folks in there to come out. Y'all stay in there because that's where y'all going to be. So he called him out. And the first thing Jesus said, loose him. Loose him. See, when you're alive in Christ, you don't need to be having on no grave clothes. See, some of us wearing grave clothes. Saved and wearing grave clothes. You know I got clothes I can't wear. What's God saying? There's stuff I had I couldn't wear.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm serious. They ought to have a department in the store, grave clothes section. Because some saved folk wearing grave clothes and then you confuse. See, you confuse the dying world. Because they know they dying and they know they unsaved. They looking at you saying you saved, but you got on clothes out of the dying department. Why you wearing that if you saved? Why all your cleavages is out? I know. You supposed to be a child of God. Why all your breasts is out? Why that skirt so short? You a child of God. Dressed like a child of God. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 5:5, be clothed. In humility. Y'all be covered up. Oh, y'all don't want to see me in no shorts and a tank top coming out here. Like Eddie Long. Somebody said, Eddie Long. Got a tank top on, muscle shirt. Yeah, I've been working out a little bit. Some grave clothes to the man of God coming in God's house with grave clothes on. Unless you need to be saved. Then wear your grave clothes. It identifies us. That person needs some help. Take off the grave clothes. Jesus told him, take off the grave clothes. Put on holiness, righteousness. Where does God say, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now holiness covers a lot of stuff. It just don't cover what come out of your mouth. It covers what go in too. The Bible said, be holy. For I am holy. Look at the last point I'm going to make. We're going to talk about this. 23, excuse me. He said, be renewed in your mind. Be renewed in your spirit. Somebody need a renewed spirit. God, that word renewed means have a new spirit. See, we now talk about patching up some stuff. See, some of us that fix up stuff. No, we're not talking about that. God said a renewed spirit is not a patched up spirit. Word of God somewhere said don't put new wine in old wineskins. You need a new bag for new wine. Okay? So he said be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, you have to ask how. Glad you asked. When you see a question like that in the Word of God, you have to ask why,
How do I be renewed my mind? Because if I'm living like this and I'm dressing like this and I'm talking like this, there's got to be something wrong with me. If I say I'm a Christian and I'm still doing the stuff that I did when I was unsaved, there got to be a problem. And you saying, be renewed in your mind, and I'm asking you, how? How? That's a great question. That's application. How do I do this? Because I didn't came and hear you spitting and slobbing and screaming, but now I need to know. How do I get this renewed mind? Because the mind I have don't love the things of God. Don't want to go to Bible study. Don't want to go to prayer meeting. Don't want to study the Bible. Don't want to give a nickel to the church. I need a renewed mind. Because this one ain't working right. Look at Romans. Look at Romans chapter 12. He talks about it. He talks about it. It's a great passage. Paul just he just gave them 12 chapters of doctrine, and they asked this question. Paul said, he says in verse number 1 of 12, I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, you are saved. He calls them brethren. By the mercies of God, you are saved by the mercies of God. You're not saved because you sang and praised some Hail Marys, or you gave honor to Buddha, or you flew a jet into the Twin Towers and you go, no. If you are saved in here, you are saved by the mercies of God. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works. Please don't miss that. Not by works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved because you give to the church or you got baptized or anything. You are saved by the grace of God. And Paul says, I beseech you, let's talk about this renewed mind, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, your flesh, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And all you have to ask yourself is am I acceptable unto God? Amen. And the answer will always be no. Amen. Okay? It will always be no. If you don't know the Lord. Amen. If you know the Lord. And God will say, you're acceptable because of what my son done for you. Amen. By dying on Calvary's cross. By paying for the debt of sin. And that's how you are acceptable unto God. Listen, he says, which is your reasonable service, that you live in a life that is acceptable to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says, in all you eat, drink, and do. In all you eat, drink, and do. Do it to the glory of God. The glory of God. Our glorifying God ought to consume us. That's why they called them Christians. Because they were like little Jesuses. Somebody talk to you and ask you a question, it ought to be Jesus. They ask me all the time, tell me something good. Jesus. Jesus is good. All the time. Give me a word for today. What's a good word for today? Jesus is always a good word. Paul says this, listen, how we transform our mind. Here we go, right here, verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world. Right. Just because the world's doing it don't mean you got to do it. Amen. Just because the world said, all right, let's cover our bodies up with tattoos and piercings, don't mean the child of God needs to do it. Amen. Just because the world say, okay, let's eat, drink, and be merry, and everybody drinking beer, and everybody getting drunk, and they legalizing marijuana in Washington, and it's going to come to Ohio. Don't mean it's something you got to do. Amen. Right is always right. Uh-huh. And wrong is always wrong. Yeah. Be not conformed to this world. So the world's saying, well, all right, Jane and Kathy, you guys can get married, and Mr. Jones and Mr. It don't make it right. Amen. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed because the world says right. The world hates God. It hates the things of God. It hates the preaching of God's word. And that's why the word of God and the preaching of God's word is under attack in this country. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you renew your mind. Bible study, prayer, fasting, being around other folks that love the Lord, serving God, and all you do, that will lead to your mind being renewed. You can't get a renewed mind without the word of God. That you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. You want a renewed mind, start with the word of God. And you find you a church where God's word is being preached. Where the people of God are faithful. Where the pastors in it are faithful. And the word of God will go out. Listen. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteress, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You know what God is saying? He's saying, you've taken the love that you that's like a jealous wife or a jealous boyfriend. You've taken the love that you give me and you've given it to the world. Or you giving it to somebody else. God is saying the same thing. I designed you. I made you to worship and to love me. And you love the world more. You're an adulterer. You're cheating on God. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Listen. Let's close. Now, how many of y'all watch The Wizard of Oz? How many of y'all know there was a lot of spiritual things going on there?
Amen.
You never seen it, Deacon Oliver?
No, I have.
Oh, I was getting ready to say, you was around when they made it. I was going to say, you didn't see The Wizard of Oz? Well, I, as a child, loved The Wizard of Oz. And I loved it. Three parts. I loved when Dorothy slapped the lion. That was my favorite part. One of my favorite parts. And I loved when the lion jumped out of the window. But as I got older, I would tell my daughter, just let me know when they get ready. You get ready to jump out the window. I run in the room and watch them jump out the window. Thought that was really, really good. You know, but there's a part of it that we have to understand as Christians. And I thought about this. When it started off and the house fell on the witch. Mm-hmm. The house fell on the witch.
Yeah.
And the people came out and celebrated. They came out and party. They had a good time, man. The wicked witch is dead, and the wicked witch is dead. I just wonder if God's judgment came on the world, would the people of God celebrate? I mean, if the movie houses, God came and a revival came to our land, and the movie house was closed on Sunday. And the soap operas would have to change the way they do things. And the nightclubs and all that stuff. All the number joints and stuff. Would the people of God rejoice and celebrate? Or would the people of God say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do from Monday to Saturday. They just shut everything down, these crazy Christians. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Okay.